Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Another good-looking, cold day. I mean, I don't know that it hit 40 today. Well, it may have. My car said 39 a while ago, so maybe it touched close. 40. But yeah, it hasn't really warmed up. But, you know, it doesn't. The wind isn't quite as bad today, but man, it has been it's been cold for a couple of days. So hope everybody doing well. Hope the heat. Hope you're not having any trouble with your heat. Did y'all leave a little water running?
No,
little?
But we left all of our sinks, the bottom cabinets open.
Yeah.
Even the shower doors open. And so far, so good.
Yeah.
And we've got stuff on all the outside faucets.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Donna puts those little things on every year.
I don't even have that.
Yeah.
I'll leave a little bit running on the faucet closest to the street.
Yeah,
and
yeah, probably
things
smart.
Like that.
Probably
so,
smart. How about your pool? Does it ever?
No. Yeah. I mean, if it did, I'd be in serious trouble.
Yeah.
We'd be in serious trouble. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the thing is 8.5 feet deep at the deepest spot.
That would be a freeze.
for it to freeze over the, and the thing is in the pumps usually.
Right.
And the thing, the smart thing to do is keep the pump running.
Right.
Too, because you don't want the water in the pump
frozen
to freeze when it turns off.
Have some friends and good friends in Oxford, Mississippi. Boy, they're struggling. The campus got destroyed. I don't think they're having classes yet. Mm. Because of the big ice storm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the grove was just destroyed. All the trees.
Wow.
Sad.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of places got hit really hard. We've been very fortunate. I mean, honestly,
yes,
we really
and even have. This weekend, I think we're going to die. It's going to be cold. But
it's going to be really cold again. Yeah.
It's going back through Georgia somehow. Yeah.
Talking about teens once again Saturday and Sunday nights, I believe. All right, so there's our quick weather as we get things started. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Dan is gone for the rest of the week.
Yeah,
he's headed to Huntington, West Virginia. Ooh. For his first ball game before they head to Myrtle Beach. But, it'll probably be pretty chilly where he is. We're nice and comfy here in the studio. Bill, Don, we've got Drew at the controls. And it's Tuesday, so we're going to head to the Drive hotline. Welcome in the voice of the Auburn Tigers, fresh off that big win down in Gainesville. And Andy Burcham now joining us here on the Drive. Andy, how you doing today?
Guys, I'm doing very well. I'm glad that it's warm in the studio. Some unprecedented cold weather here and across the southeast, as you mentioned. Boy, bus go out. I've got friends that live north of Nashville, Tennessee, that have been without power for a couple of days. And so my heart goes out to those folks. We've invited them south. So we've got room in our house for you, so we may be getting some visitors. If they don't start getting some power pretty soon.
Yeah, my two sisters were in town from Black Mountain, North Carolina, and as a matter of fact, it was younger sister's birthday yesterday, and they had planned to head back Sunday, and it's like, nah, they weren't going to drive back through the ice, but they were fortunate that at least at their house they had power. So yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, again, be thankful, and we are fortunate here thus far. Andy, we may have some crazy cold going on, but boy, it's nice to see the basketball team heating up. You like that?
Well, and they've done it at the defensive end, Bill.
Absolutely.
I mean, you look back at the start of this win streak, the three wins against South Carolina, then on the road at Ole Miss in Florida. And although the win over South Carolina is a pretty ugly win, Auburn played really well from a defensive standpoint, and that was. To me, in addition to the win, that was the most encouraging sign coming out of that. And then that defense, as a lot of coaches in a number of sports talk about, defense travels, right, mm-hmm. Don?
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir.
And Auburn did that last week, a week ago tonight, as a matter of fact, that win at Ole Miss, late night win at Ole Miss in front of a sold-out crowd in Oxford. And then Auburn goes to Florida this past week, gets off to a terrific start right from the get-go. After Florida hits that three to open the game, Auburn comes right back. Florida's last lead in that game was 3-2.
Right.
With just under 19 minutes to go. Auburn led, or the game was tied for the remainder of the ball game. Auburn got off to such a good start, led by as many as 18. You knew Florida was going to make a run, and it did. And with just under 8 minutes to go in the game is tied. It looks like Florida takes the lead on the goaltend call that is reversed. And at that point, credit Auburn, one, for challenging the goaltend, and two, for then going on a 6-0 run after that. Auburn never trailed and pulls out a double-digit win in Florida. The first time that Auburn has won in Gainesville since 1996 on a Ray Donald buzzer beater. With Jim Fife on the call, and Ray in the postgame show kept calling Jim Fife for the entire postgame interview. Was one of the things I remember from that. Just a big win for Auburn. Let me tell you what, last week you win in Oxford, you win in Gainesville, and do it with the way that Auburn did it. You win in double figures in both of those places. That's a statement. And now you've got to pick that right back up with a really good Texas team coming in here tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn is in the, getting things started on a very challenging stretch. That middle six, we looked at them, you know, back even before the season started and went, wow, that middle six with Florida, Texas, you've got Bama, Vandy, Tennessee. I mean, it's... and then Arkansas, and then at Arkansas. So, I mean, a very difficult stretch, but what a great way to get off to that start. And you, as you said, Andy, it's all spurred by defense, and this is a team that early on, I mean, a lot of onlookers, a lot of naysayers, because Auburn struggled defensively early. There's no question about that. I mean, it appeared that for Auburn to win games, they were going to have to, score 80-something plus points. I was about to say something that is one of the most ridiculous statements. Yeah, to win games, they're going to have to outscore their opponents. Well, you're not going to win any games if you don't outscore them, but I hear people say that. But you know what I mean.
I do.
Having to score a lot of points. And Auburn has won their last three ball games while not shooting the ball very, exceptionally well.
Two threes at Ole Miss. Two threes in the previous game against South Carolina. And Auburn shot it a little bit better.
Yeah.
At Florida, but the
still
the
5 of 15.
The key is in those games against South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Florida, Auburn held each of those opponents, the Gamecocks, the Rebels, and the Gators, under 70 points and under 40% shooting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to what Auburn has done in its last three games, and it will get severely tested in that regard tomorrow night. You were there. Stephen Pearl said, while he thinks Florida is the best team that Auburn has faced in the Southeastern Conference, he believes that Texas is the most dangerous team. And it goes from a interior of Houck and Condon and Shinyalu to three-guard offense of Pope and Swain and Mark tomorrow night. So you go from a big front line, physical front line in Florida, to an incredibly talented, athletic backcourt that you get tomorrow with the Texas Longhorns in town for a 6:01 start. Coverage on Wings 94.3 starts at 5:30.
Yeah, so they're giving me a couple minutes, Drew, to get from here in before the tip tomorrow night. Tremont Mark, Auburn fans sadly can remember the job he did up in the BJCC up in Birmingham a couple of years ago for Houston against Auburn.
That really good Houston team. Remember, Auburn led by 10 at the half in that game. A win, and you go to the Sweet 16, I believe, in Kansas City that year. And then Tremont Mark just went off.
He did.
Against Auburn in the second half. And then made his way to Arkansas and now to Texas. And a guy that has 28 threes this season is shooting 50% from the field. Mm. 71% from the free throw line, coming off of a season high 23 points on 10 of 14 shooting and 6 rebounds in their 20-point win against Georgia last Saturday. And in that game, Georgia, I think, led at half and extended its lead early in the second half, and then Texas just flat went off on Georgia and ended up winning that ball game by 20 in Austin on Saturday.
Yeah, that, and I mean, they have a couple of impressive road wins. They won in Tuscaloosa. I mean, this is a Texas team that has, I believe, four top 25 wins this year, so you can see the ability that they have. They're a team that, Stephen was saying, Auburn's going to have to play the way they played down there with that intensity that they played down in Gainesville to be able to beat the Longhorns.
Do you want to know the most unusual note going into this game tomorrow night?
Sure.
In my opinion, this will be the first game that Texas has played at Auburn since February 11th, 1911.
Wow. Now, I knew it'd be the first time they'd been in since I could recall. And yes, I can't recall back that far. So, no, I mean, that's crazy. Over a century ago?
Exactly. And I'm trying to think. I think the gym at that point was up by Sanford Hall somewhere.
I have no.
But it was there. It was the first game that they had ever played on the east side of the Mississippi River.
Gee. I didn't.
So, but they have not been back to the Plains in basketball since 1911.
Mm. Well,
so
this,
there you are.
You know, hopefully, I mean, everybody's back in town. It should be a packed house. And the way Auburn's playing now, I would expect the jungle to be pretty wild.
Let me say something. Hats off to the folks at Ole Miss and hats off to the folks in Gainesville, because both of those places were jumping.
Mm-hmm.
For Auburn, we went to shoot around Saturday morning pretty early in Gainesville, and their students it looked like getting ready for a big game at Neville Arena. Their students were lined up and down the sidewalk to get in. It was a sellout of over 10,500, nearly 10,000 in Oxford last Tuesday. Two great atmospheres. I expect tomorrow night is going to be epic. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere in the jungle for Auburn and Texas.
Yeah, really, really, really looking forward to it. We talked about the defense. It appears, Andy, that, I mean, our thoughts that we had heading into the season and then early on this season, that Auburn has changed its philosophy offensively. They're more of the style that Auburn's been the last couple of years now. I mean, they are a physical, pound it inside and hit the boards kind of team, as opposed to that, you know, run and, you know, take the first open shot that you have type team that they appeared to be earlier this season.
Well, I don't want to try and simplify this, but a healthy Keyshawn Murphy really helps.
No question.
For Auburn on the inside. And he is averaging, on the season, 10.8 points, 6.6 rebounds. He played the first two-thirds of this season so far, you know, a bit hobbled. But, buddy, he came back from Christmas break, and it's been a different look for Keyshawn Murphy. And in the Southeastern Conference now, he's averaging over 12.5 points and over 8 rebounds a ball game. And this is just as important, is shooting 85.7% from the free throw line.
How about that?
In the SEC. I mean, he has been a different player since coming back from the Christmas or the holiday break. And I think in great measure, it's the fact that he's healthy and he has played like a guy that is 6'10" and 230 pounds, and a guy that's been in and has played in this league for his entire career. He's the guy. I think what we're seeing from Keyshawn Murphy now is the guy that Auburn thought it was going to get out of the transfer portal. And I think that's one of the big reasons, in addition to the fact that Auburn has struggled from outside the last four or five ball games, is the fact that they're now able to get it on the inside. And Bill, Auburn has outscored every opponent in the SEC in the paint thus far this season. And that's exactly what Auburn did a year ago. Listen, it's a different personnel. It's a different way of doing things, but Auburn is getting it done on the paint in the SEC like it did a year ago.
Yeah, you don't have to. It helps. It helps when you have guys that are close to that 7-foot mark. But, I mean, with the two Keyshawns and the two freshmen, Sway and Filip Jovic, I mean, it is it's really been impressive there inside. One other thing about Keyshawn Murphy, I mean, he is – he's just more, he is quicker than most players his size. And, you know, our buddy Jason Caldwell has talked a couple of times about, hey, that's one of the things to remember is he was a big guard in high school. He was a 6'6", 6'7", wing who grew into 6'10", and you can see that quickness now that he is healthy. He is just he's able to make some moves. It's like, wow, he is just by the guy that's defending him who has no idea. All of a sudden, he makes a fake spins, and he's past him. You see that out of Keyshawn, and he's got a nice touch too. I don't mind, and I'm sure Stephen will agree with this, don't mind seeing him take a three as long as there's somebody down there underneath in case.
Right. No, exactly right. And I think back to a three he made at the top of the key in the second half of the St. John's game,
mm-hmm.
when Auburn was making that run to come back against the Red Storm out in Las Vegas. And he has a nice touch from the outside, but of late, he is making his way on the paint, as Auburn is, as you mentioned, with Hall and Murphy, and then Filip Jovic and Sebastian Williams-Adams on the inside. And let me say this. When Auburn made that 6-0 run with just under 8 minutes to go on Saturday at Florida, it was still points in the paint, but it came on two driving baskets.
Fabulous.
One, mm-hmm. Two by Tahad Pettiford and the other by Kevin Overton.
Right.
So not only are the big guys getting in the paint, but Auburn's guards are also getting in the paint. And that has it's just been a total team effort to score in the paint for this Auburn team. And again, you've got to completely reset for tomorrow night because Texas comes to town. As Stephen Pearl has said, he believes they're the most dangerous team from a talent perspective and very different from what Auburn faced on Saturday down in Florida, because Pope and Swain and Mark, that three-guard lineup is very, very potent for the Longhorns coming in here tomorrow night.
Yeah, and again, I mean, Auburn is a little thin, and it seems like, you know, he's pretty comfortable with that seven-man rotation with Blake Mushalik playing a few minutes. I think he'd like to get him a little bit more time to give to
Tahad. Well, he said today, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd like to give those guys a little bit more rest, but that's quite the challenge for the Auburn backcourt tomorrow night, no doubt.
No question about that. Pope is a guy averaging 12 points, 2 rebounds, and 2.3 assists. Swain leads with 16.9 points. He's the leading rebounder at 6'8", at 7.1 a game. And then Mark, 13.8 points, 3.4 rebounds, and 2.2 assists. So they're getting over 5 assists combined from Pope and from Tremont Mark. So yeah, this is a potent, highly charged offense that's averaging 86 points per game coming in.
Yeah, well, I mean, Auburn basketball is definitely, you know, on track and really playing well. Looking forward to this one. Interesting, you know, Stephen pointing out that yes, the last two teams they played, though, you know, before you get, you know, too comfortable with this, remember that Ole Miss was on a three-game winning streak when right. Auburn went in there and won. Florida was on a five-game winning streak when Auburn went in there and won. So they'll need their experienced guys, and you think, well, Tahad's the only guy back. But no, Kevin Overton, Keyshawn Murphy, Keyshawn Hall are other guys that have been around and been through these type things, and it's on them as well as the coaching staff to keep the young guys from thinking, all right, we're in good shape now, and relax for just a second.
As much as we've talked about the guards for this Texas ball club, here's another interesting stat. In whatever combination, and they do have a 7-footer, and Modest Vokatidis, mm-hmm. Sophomore out of Lithuania. But they've gone double-digit offensive rebounds in 17 of their 20 games. So this is a ball club that, while it is guard-led, can get on the boards as well. So you've got to take care of the boards. And I don't know how many times in the 2 days when we were down in Gainesville, as far as talking with his team and talking about checking, and getting a body when the shots went up. And boy, Auburn did that on Saturday. And Auburn just dominated the boards against a bigger Florida basketball team, mm-hmm. and have done that, Bill, of late. I mean, it's not only on the offensive side that Auburn has done its work, it certainly has, but it has continued to hit the boards. I think Florida may have out-rebounded Auburn in the end.
Right.
But when that game was on the line, it was Auburn getting those rebounds. Certainly in the first half, Florida made up some gap in that second half comeback.
Yeah, and Texas is right there. Texas is the next best rebounding team in the league. So that'll be a big challenge tomorrow night.
No question. And I can't wait for tomorrow night. I think it's just going to be I think it could be one of those classic SEC basketball games that we've all come to love at Neville Arena. Auburn in Texas tomorrow night, first time for the Longhorns here in, well, a long, long time.
Yeah, I doubt that there's anybody there's nobody around who has any recollection of that first meeting or that last meeting.
So where would that gym, surely this is known. Certainly somebody listening. Where would that gym, may have been in Sanford Hall. I'm not certain, but the gym at that point was up there around Sanford.
I'm thinking it was there. What is the building right there next to it that now that movies and things are shown in?
Okay.
I'm thinking that may have been the original basketball court. It was a small, it was up there well before it was at the barn, and then of course the Coliseum before we got to the arena. So I don't know. That's exactly. That's something. It'd be fun to figure
here,
that one
here we
out.
Go. I'm reading this one right now. There was a gym in the attic of Sanford Hall.
In the attic.
And later alumni gymnasium was built in 1916 on West Thatch.
Wow.
So if they played in 11.
They played in the attic of Sanford Hall.
They played in Sanford. That's what I'm guessing.
That's wild.
I don't know that for certain.
Oh yes. Man, that would be really. That's I'd love to see a picture of a game being played up there. I wonder, did they even have nets, or were they just did they have to pull the ball out of the basket? Who knows?
I have no idea.
Oh, Andy, great stuff. Hey, it is a busy time. There's a lot going on. Fill us in on everything going on with Auburn and the Auburn Sports Network.
Talking Tigers podcast this week features one of Auburn's associate head baseball coaches, Carl Nonnemaker, who is Auburn's recruiting coordinator, mm-hmm. a fabulous player at Vanderbilt, coached at Old Dominion, was a graduate assistant or volunteer assistant for Auburn, and then came back to Auburn, and boy, part of that incredible staff that Butch Thompson has. Of course, they're getting ready to start their season in a couple of weeks. Monday on the Talking Tigers podcast, a former Auburn women's basketball player who's now on the staff of the current team. She was Riri Hobbs when I called her games at Auburn. Now Renisha Bolden. In the weeks to come, Janam Paul, who is Auburn's senior women's administrator, will be on. And in a couple of weeks as well, Jackie Pearl will be joining us. Jackie, the sister of head coach Stephen Pearl, the daughter of Bruce Pearl, and she has taken over the Outlive campaign at Auburn. That Outlive game will be against Kentucky, and we're going to talk with Jackie about Outlive in a couple of weeks on the Talking Tigers podcast. Tomorrow night, our coverage starts at 5:30 on Wings 94.3. Tip-off is set for 6:01. Glad to have a 6 o'clock start.
Oh, yes.
Tomorrow night. On Thursday, Tiger Talk, back at the Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Stephen Pearl, and then two of the Auburn players will be there on the PlayStation in the back room there and taking on all comers at Baumhauer's. Keyshawn Hall and Kevin Overton will also join us on Tiger Talk on Thursday night. And then, of course, Auburn at Tennessee for a 7:30 start. There's no way that game will start at 7:30 our time. It will be later. No. There will be a slide, but we'll be on the air at 7 from Knoxville on Saturday night.
Great stuff, and really looking forward to everything that is coming up as the weather.
Let me add one more thing.
All right.
Auburn women's basketball Thursday night against South Carolina. That's an 8 o'clock start. Right here on ESPN 106.7, Britt Bowen, Dr. Larry DeChera. The women were supposed to be playing at Ole Miss on Sunday. That game, because of the weather that you guys were talking about when I came on the air with you today, because of the weather in Oxford, that game has now been moved to Monday evening at 6. So Britt will have that call Monday at 5:45 right here on ESPN 106.7.
All right, great. Thanks, Andy. It's always great to spend a little time with you.
My pleasure, guys. Hope you have a great day. Don, Bill, have a good one. War Eagle!
Voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us. Always fun to talk with Andy, especially when you, when you're coming off a performance like Auburn had, and you got a chance to call down there in Gainesville. By the way, Langdon Halls, I was trying to think of what's that right there? Yeah. I was thinking it was Langdon, but no, it was really cool when Andy said, no, he looked it up and saw the attic. Basketball started.
That's crazy.
Playing in the attic of Samford
Hall. Did they have the old peach baskets?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I don't know. All right, we'll get to our first break. No, we're a little late, but I thought let's go ahead and just make it one long segment. So we'll get to our first break. We'll open up the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Dan is on the road with the Troy women's basketball team. And he'll be out for the rest of the week. So we are here, and fingers crossed. Hope everything stays well. I will say this. My wife is not feeling great. She slept in a guest bedroom last night. And it's like, I'm not crazy about doing that, but she really wasn't feeling well, and today she's still not. So I'll try to take as many vitamins and things like that as I can this week. So we're here. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. I get a notification while we're talking with Andy, and you don't get many notifications like this. My notification is Belichick not Hall of Famer. And it's like, you get notifications usually that somebody's not a Hall of Famer. Because you know what? I don't think anybody's got a notification that I'm not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Or that you're not a Hall of Famer.
No.
But, I mean, that is crazy.
Wow.
Bill Belichick, not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Is that interesting or what?
Yeah.
Because
you just would assume.
I mean, everybody
seven
had him. He's
world
the GOAT.
Champions,
he's
right.
The GOAT.
Must have really teed some people
some
off.
Voters off,
yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
My goodness. Or, you know, the thing is, what has happened is since Tom Brady, since he hasn't had Tom Brady.
Just an average guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it carried on his first year in college.
Yeah.
Like, there was questions, or would he be back for year two?
Right.
So, I mean, that's interesting that he did not. He is not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, according to ESPN, saying sources have told them he will not. Mm. He'll not make it to the Hall of Fame, at least this year. But lots of things to talk about. We'd love to hear from you if you didn't get a chance to get in yesterday. Talk a little bit about Auburn basketball, college basketball, the situation with Charles Bediako. Let me clear up. I think there's some misconceptions, or folks haven't read closely some of the things that are going on. Of course, the Judge Roberts up in Tuscaloosa, had granted the temporary restraining order to allow Bediako to play, and he did play against Tennessee. Had a pretty good game, but Alabama lost. Now, Alabama was without two of their better players, too. So, I mean, don't just count them out with Bediako. If they have him, they do have a chance to be really, really good. But then because of the weather, a couple of folks couldn't make it to the hearing that was scheduled yesterday. One of the NCAA lawyers, and I believe one of the lawyers that's on Bediako's team, said they couldn't make it to Tuscaloosa because of the weather. Because one of the lawyers from that was for the NCAA was coming from the Nashville area.
Oh, well.
So
yeah.
I can understand that they'd be concerned about getting down for a hearing, you know, with the ice that has been out there. So Judge Roberts then extended the temporary restraining order for 10 days. But read the temporary restraining order. That is 10 days from the end of the original restraining order. The original restraining order was January 21st. That means it ran through January 31st, and there are 10 days added to that. I've seen people going, well, at least they'll have to have the hearing before the Auburn game. No. The Auburn game will be the last game before the temporary restraining order is up. So if they don't have the hearing, and the hearing yet for the injunction has not been set yet. Remember, it was going to be today, even though the TRO was going to go through this Saturday. So it could be at any time between now and February the 10th. But if it is not before February 9th is a Monday and the 10th is a Tuesday, if it is not before then Charles Bediako will be playing against Auburn as well as the other four games that they have on their schedule right now. So that's something
interesting.
That's something to keep in mind when they come to Auburn on February the 7th. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Pat, hang on. You're up first when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Looking.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Pat is up first. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Bill. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that, but also about Auburn. This is exactly why I love our situation right now, because we have a lot of great players that if they ever get playing all together like they can.
Boy, if they ever shoot.
If they ever start shooting like they can, we all know they can shoot. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all, like Todd shot great last year, shot 36% last year. So they all have the ability at any point in the season, and we get into the playoffs or whatever, we can beat anybody if we're hitting it right. So I'd much rather have that than a team that's, you know, capped at their abilities and they have to play a perfect team game. I mean, we don't even need everybody to play great to win games. We've actually played our worst all the way around and still were able to win some games. So I feel great about that scenario. And that's what I think this week, I think Stephen Pearl said it perfectly. That game doesn't matter if we lose to Texas. We have to start putting them together. And Todd made a comment that I heard, and one of his comments was that it's time to start stacking some wins together. And that's exactly what they did. They started stacking 2 and 3 and 4 wins. Now it's see if we can stack up to 5 and 6 wins. That's what we really need and get on a run. The thing about Bediako, and this is just a simple thing to me, Bill, when they passed the $20.5 million thing that we can pay the players, the university can pay the players, they are no longer amateurs. So what does it matter whether somebody went and signed an NBA contract? If he still has eligibility, even if you want to go along with the eligibility, let's say 4 years, play 5, or whatever you want to say, they took the amateurism off the table when they agreed that everybody could get paid. So what does it matter whether Bediako signed an NFL NBA contract?
Well,
I think he's gonna win the court case.
Well, if he does, then that's gonna open up hundreds of professional athletes who aren't happy with their situation, aren't getting the playing time they want, aren't with the team they want, to be able, if they have time on their clock, and I don't even know if the clock thing is going to matter, but I mean, those would be the first ones that would go, well, hey, I want to go back to school and play too, and it's just going to, it's going to muddy things up so much, you're really not going to know, is a guy, what level is he at? Is he at the college? Is he semi-pro? Is he playing in the minor leagues, or is he in the bigs and in whatever sport?
That's what the judges are asking, and that's what they're asking the NCAA. What is your argument? If you, Bill, you be the NCAA for 1 minute and just say, okay, give me the argument why this guy can't play.
I was going to say there's a difference in the way the NCAA has looked at it. Now it's not being helped a lot. Although the NCAA has actually done okay lately. When they've gone to court. But what the NCAA is saying is, look, the players are getting money from the university, but that is not the same as being a professional athlete who is part of a union, who is being paid, and his rights are owned by a team, because these players' rights are not owned by any college, obviously.
Why does that matter? Tell me why that matters. Just give me a reason why real world why that matters. That's just an argument you're making up, but why does that matter?
Well, it matters because you have no way of having any control over these players and their movement at this level. So, okay, they're
right,
getting money.
You're trying to find a reason to stop it. And if I'm a judge has asked the question, why am I not allowed to play, judge? The NCAA is telling me that I can't play because I signed a contract with the NBA. Why does that make you not be able to play? And the next question he would say is, well, because you made money.
No, it's not so much that they made money. I mean,
that's what the judge would say. I'm talking about why they're losing in court. It's not because, well, you're going to open up a can of worms and now they're going to be able to do a bunch of other stuff and now we got to start doing different things for different. It's like, judge doesn't care. The judge cares about the person in front of him.
Well, I'll tell you, somebody who does care, I think the NBA cares. I think the NFL cares. I think Major League Baseball would care. They don't want their players. Well, the thing is, I would think maybe something that happens is the professional leagues then say, all right, you're ineligible to play here again if you do that.
And that's true. But what the judge has to deal with is what's in front of him at the moment. I'm not arguing.
I think Bediako is probably going to win this thing, regardless of who the judge is, because they opened it all up. And it's not so much because the players are getting paid by the schools. It's because they allowed the players who have been in the G League to come back, and that followed players who were being paid overseas to come in and be in college. That is what has opened up these doors.
That's right. That's right. And so all the judge can do is rule what's in front of him at the moment. You know, if your neighbor, you know, if you got a problem with your neighbor, and they're mad because, you know, you got trees that are hanging over the thing, all they can deal with is a person in front of them. And I know it looks fishy because it happens to be a Tuscaloosa judge, but I'm just talking about, if I was Bediako, I'd be like, why can't I play?
And their coaches all across the country. I've said this. I mean, every coach in the country would love to have a guy that they could plug in right now, too, just like Alabama could find Bediako.
Yeah, so that's why. Look, I think everybody's getting all bent up over the judge and all this stuff, and I know it looks kind of fishy, but I just look at the case. I don't understand why it's kind of like when someone declares for the NFL they don't get in. You know, like, they can't come back. Okay, well, why? Because I tried
is a big mistake that the NCAA made. They let baseball players have done that forever. They let baseball players be drafted. If they don't like their draft position, they don't like what it is, whatever, they can come back. I think it ought to be the same in all sports.
Well, that's exactly right, and that would be the argument.
But you'd need
to
make that decision right then before you move on to that next level.
Yeah, but I'm saying that would be if I was in the trial with Bediako and I was his lawyer, I would say, well, why can the baseball do it?
Yeah, you know, I've wondered why that hadn't been challenged.
Yeah, and that's right, because the NCAA makes up whatever rules they want for whatever group they want. It's like they're just the king of all, and I get it. They're trying to protect the thing that they created,
Pat, is these are rules and laws that were proposed by the colleges. They're the ones that wanted these rules put in there. It's not like the NCAA arbitrarily is doing this. These are the rules that the hundreds of NCAA members voted on and wanted to try to have, and they thought they were working with the professional leagues to try to try to satisfy both sides.
Yeah, exactly. But they weren't including the students.
Then the NCAA didn't. They didn't see what was coming when they denied the rights for the players in the video games. You know, for their likenesses in the video games. That was the start, really, of this whole thing. If they'd done that, we might not have ever been to any situation like this.
Sure. Well, I get it. I'm just saying. I think everybody gets so bent up over this case. And I'm like, man, we don't need to be wasting our energy on this case. He's going to win. I don't personally think. I mean, at first I thought he didn't matter in that game, but I mean, I feel like they might have lost by 20 if they didn't have him because he was actually doing a pretty good job. But I feel like Alabama's got more problems than just Bediako. I feel like they need more. They need a little more. So hopefully, I just like the way we're looking right now. Auburn's looking good. I feel like we were looking so good after Arkansas, but now if you look at, at the Missouri game at Missouri, you know, had we won that game, well, I mean, we'd be sitting here riding super high. So I feel like things are getting better. Defense is working. That's the key, getting them working. It takes time to get a bunch of new guys all working together on defense.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff, Pat.
All right. Thanks, guys.
334-321-1390. Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. The reason it's all wrong is because there are existing rules. It's not a rule that just came up. It's an existing rule. If you want to play in a league, hey, look, this thing about, oh, well, he can just do what he wants because he wants. Well, no, if you play in the American League and you decide all of a sudden you want to play in the National League, you just decide, okay, hang on, I'll go see a judge. This stuff about, okay, well, we'll just go to court is totally ridiculous.
Yeah, so you're breaking up a little bit, Brett. I mean, the problem is, though, there's not a situation, there's not an employer-employee relationship, and the NCAA is the reason that there's not between these, and that's why these quote, amateurs can take it to court and get these things done. I'm not a fan of it either. But I mean, there is a reason why they can do it, and these professionals, guys in the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball can't.
Yeah, but this talk about comparing it to the guys from Europe. The guys in Europe couldn't play college ball.
Right. Oh, I know. That's why a judge somewhere could say, oh, I see that. Well, that's not fair for you and the G League to not be able to play. So, I mean, I can see how it got to this point.
Well, but only problem is Betty Iko signed an agreement. Once again, there's that thing, an agreement, a legal agreement, where he turned pro. He forfeited his college eligibility. That's not maybe. That's for dang sure he did.
Yeah, but if the judge says he can play, and you find a favorable judge or get that favorable ruling, then he can play. And you think the NCAA is going to keep Alabama out of the tournament because Betty Iko plays? I don't.
No, I don't. But once again, just because you can find a judge right now, I mean, it'll get overturned. I mean, I don't know if it'll get overturned by the end of the year, but I mean, it's just like all this other mess. Folks find a liberal judge up in Seattle to do something, and then it goes before the Supreme Court, and they say, look, that's wacko. I mean, it's completely wacko, which is what's going on now.
Maybe the best thing that could happen right now is something that I alluded to a couple of minutes ago with Pat, is for the NBA to say, our feeling is he shouldn't have done this, so he's not welcome back in the league. Because they can get by without Charles Betty Iko. And that would stop this right now.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about the NBA, NFL, whoever. If they get involved and say, okay, this isn't going to work, I'll bet you with all the big money behind all that, it'll end.
Oh, you know it.
All right, have a great day.
All right, good call, Brett. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in here on the Tuesday Drive.
Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday. Let me give you a phone number for the Game Day Men's Health as well. Again, great folks. They're very good at keeping up with everything, very conscientious. They're about to close, so I'd say give them a call tomorrow. They'll open at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Their number is 334-209-3706, the Game Day Men's Health here in Auburn. Fun conversations there with Brett and Pat.
Yep.
And look, this is going to be really interesting. I don't disagree with Pat that I think Bediako very well could win this, because even though there's not this exact precedent, there are things close to it. I'm hoping not, because I really don't want players to be go professional in a sport and be able to play for a year or two and then come back. I think that that'll make it much more difficult for you to be able to find, you know, young guys and develop them in any sport.
Yeah, it's I agree, Bill. Once they go, they go. I don't think they should be allowed to come back. But like you said, it's only really one person to blame in this whole deal, and it's the NCAA.
Yeah, if they just had a little foresight.
Yeah, they didn't get a handle on
anything. You know, a decade,
anything.
Even a decade ago.
And they couldn't win any cases after all.
It's been coming.
This.
It's been coming for decades, for at least a couple of decades.
Yeah, and it'll keep being pushed. The envelope will keep, you know, being pushed until, I don't know what's going to happen.
We're back with hour number two. Stick with us.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. A fun first hour as we had Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, on with us for an extended first segment. And then had some fun discussion there in the latter half of the first hour. Love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. Yes, the top story on ESPN, something we mentioned. I got the... I got an update while we were talking with Andy, and it is interesting to think that Bill Belichick, not a first ballot Hall of Famer,
six Super Bowls winners,
and I mean everyone,
I would have lost money.
You know,
on that
felt
one.
He would be considered the greatest of all time, and then there were the Patriots without Tom Brady, mm-hmm. and Bill Belichick without Tom Brady, and. And I don't think that helped. I would guess this year, even though it's college football, that didn't help. And there's some people that Belichick and his attitude
have
rubbed the wrong way.
He's a hard guy. You know, press conferences.
Oh, yeah.
To the media. You know, he's not the most lovable guy in the world, but a great coach, excellent coach. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Six Super Bowl winners?
No kidding.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Question, Bill, whatever happened to the Duke quarterback? Has anything come out about
that?
Oh,
yes. They reached today. Duke and Darian Mensah reached a settlement agreement. And I'll pull that up and I'll read you the Duke response, which I thought was very well worded. Now, Mensah is not going to be back at Duke, and I will be stunned if he's not at Miami.
Okay,
but apparently Duke has not let him go for nothing. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can pull. I will pull up the statement from Duke on their settlement with Darian Mensah today. Of course, he transferred in from Tulane and was one of the top passers in the nation this past year, re-signed an agreement worth a reported $4 million with Duke. And then the last day, I guess it was either on the night of the 15th or on the 16th of January, Mensah announced that he was going to enter the transfer portal. And Duke said, well, wait a minute, you're signed with us. And so we've been waiting to see what happened. All right. Mensah's agency, Young Money APAA Sports, said today, quote, through close collaboration and principled negotiation, we have successfully navigated an unprecedented path, one that has now reached a fair and naturally agreeable resolution. All right. What that means is, Our next destination, not naming Miami, Miami is going to cover the cost. They're going to pay Duke whatever they feel they need in damages, and then we will pay them. ESPN, an ESPN story, they say that Duke's lawsuit, they were told, was, quote, always about upholding a contract. Let me see if I can find the Duke statement. The Duke statement says, we are committed to fulfilling all promises and obligations Duke makes to our student athletes when we enter into contractual agreements with them, and we expect the same in return. So they're saying, we honor anything we sign. We expect the people that sign to honor those. They went on and said, enforcing those agreements is a necessary element of ensuring predictability and structure for athletic programs. I agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, it is nonetheless a difficult choice to pursue legal action against a student and teammate. For this reason, we sought to resolve the matter fairly and quickly. So Duke is saying, instead of suing the player, taking him to court, we wanted to try to reach an agreement. And I'm sure that that would be to reimburse them and probably pay them some damages, because this was a last-minute deal. Now, Duke has brought in a couple of quarterbacks. They've been able to do that. The good thing is everyone wasn't gone in the portal. It wasn't as though the portal was completely empty. But the statement from the university continues, Duke remains dedicated to the welfare of all student-athletes, and we appreciate them for the talent, dedication, and commitment to excellence they demonstrate both on and off the field. We also remain committed to upholding the integrity of our athletics programs and institutional guidelines. We thank Darren for his contributions to Duke University. So that's the statement from Duke today.
Wow.
Now, that, I've heard some people go, wow, that'll stop things. No, it won't at all. all that does is set it up as a situation sort of like the Ole Miss. You wonder now if this is sort of precedent for the Ole Miss situation.
Yeah, with the linebacker. With Clemson. Yeah,
yep.
Clemson.
Mm. Because now it's like, well, what'll it take?
Yeah.
And we'll pay it. We'll pay it and we'll get that player. So, I mean, this appears that tampering is no question. I mean, is the NCAA going to sit back and go, well, that's okay? Of course, I guess since Mensah announced he wanted to go into the portal, that this can be done, that's different than a player having signed and already, not only enrolled, but being attending classes. We'll see if that's a little different. But I think this still keeps that door open. At least now schools can get some kind of remuneration, some compensation. But how much good is that going to do? I mean, sure, it'll give you that much more money to try to get players. But when you already feel like, when you already have a player, if there's nothing except that, monetary compensation that you have for that signed agreement, that's still, I don't think that's something that coaches and athletics departments are going to be thrilled with.
No. It's just wild, wild west, like we said last week. Where does it end? I mean, who knows?
And I saw Jason, our buddy Jason. Yeah. And Jason, we'll talk to Jason, by the way, tomorrow from Mobile.
Right.
He'll be in Mobile.
Okay.
He's down there for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Because Alex
right.
Golish is going to be at the Senior Bowl tomorrow.
Good.
And the media will have an opportunity to talk to Coach Golish down there. So Jason's going to be down in Mobile.
Good.
But Jason, I saw Jason wrote, and this may sound insane, but a lot of the things that we're seeing right now seem like completely out of this world.
Yeah,
I mean,
if
you'd said this a few years ago, you'd have said, man, you'd lost your mind.
Yeah, that's not going to
happen. Lock that guy up. I mean, really.
Yeah.
But Jason said it's not out of the realm of possibility to think that something like this, that these types of situations that we're seeing right now could lead to a player deciding at the end of the regular season, I'm going to go play for another team in the postseason. I'm going to play for somebody that's moving on. As long as you're academically eligible, go ahead and transfer. And if they're playing in January, go ahead and transfer and play for another team. And who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them from doing that? Why shouldn't they be able? And that's one of the things when Pat was asking. Yeah, I mean, when you don't have enforceable rules and you don't have everyone that is buying in, the reason they can't do it is because every school won't say, oh, yes, we'll absolutely adhere to it because they're afraid somebody's not. And if somebody doesn't,
right,
then that other school's in an advantage over you.
Yeah.
So if you don't have everybody agreeing to all these rules, then you could have something like that. And NCAA can come in and say so. Then you just go find a judge there, right, in that team's hometown that says, well, I'm going to grant a TRO.
Yeah.
And the TRO will come up after the player's already played in the championship game or something like that.
Crazy.
I mean, My next thing, and I've joked about this for years, is, well, about the only thing we're missing now is trading. You know, when are you going to go ahead and just allow teams to start making deals? That's, it's like, funny. Well, you know, instead of us just getting money, how about you send us this player and we'll send you that? You need a linebacker? We've got an extra corner. I mean, I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, it sounds crazy.
Yeah,
but
we would have thought 5 years ago this would never happen.
Oh, you're absolutely right. So anyway, Mensah and Duke have reached an agreement, and he is now free to attend any school. And again, it's been strongly rumored, suggested, it's been written that Miami's the school that wants him and would be willing to pay $10 million in the total of amount of money he gets and amount that they have to pay.
Wow.
So in other words, Miami could pay the $4 million that Duke was going to pay him and then still have $6 million to pay him.
That isn't crazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
$10 million.
Yep. Little news on a player that we'd wondered about. We talked about it yesterday. Horatio Fields,
right,
was not going to enroll at Missouri. Earlier today came word that Missouri had released Horatio Fields from his obligation, from whatever he had signed, the mm-hmm. agreement that he had signed with them. So, I mean, that's interesting because I guess Missouri could have demanded whatever they wanted back. Well, there was precedent from earlier in the day
mm-hmm.
from the Duke Darian Mensah thing. But Missouri decided to just release Horatio Fields. And I know there were some people going, well, could he wind up back at Auburn? Well, he could have wound up back at Auburn. But it's being reported that he is headed to Ole Miss. That Pete Golding, you know, and we were talking about this before we came on the air. It really appears to me that right now, the Ole Miss boosters, they've got their checkbooks, their Venmos, their whatever.
Right.
They are ready to pay whatever it takes to try to show that they're not a fluke, that it's not just a Lane Kiffin thing. They're going to do everything they can, as you saw by the move to get the Clemson linebacker,
mm-hmm.
that they will outbid
anybody.
They'll about outbid everybody they can to get every player they can to try to keep this going. And you know, I guess I don't blame them. I'm an Ole Miss fan. I'm like, yeah,
yeah,
that's great, as long as it's not all coming out of my pocket.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, that's where we are right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm still shocked. I can't believe it. Every day it's something different.
Oh, you're right. So we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, we've got Jake Crane joining us at the bottom of the hour. So we've got another segment or so that we can take your calls, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive. BNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn, and we're here for the rest of the week. At least that's the plan. We'll check in with Jason Caldwell tomorrow down at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
And then we'll see if Ferg, I think he'd be available on Thursday. But anyway, Dan won't be back until Monday. While we don't have any calls, today was an opportunity for some of the media to spend a little bit of time with Stephen Pearl as he took a quick look back, but mainly looking forward to the matchup against Texas. The Longhorns coming to Auburn, as Andy let us know, and this is crazy, for the first time since 1911. So, yeah, there's not a lot of history there for these teams here. But, no, Texas, a challenging matchup for the Tigers, as Stephen Pearl talked with the media earlier today.
Playing in front of the jungle. Just report your Outlive shirts, outlive.org. I think the South Carolina game was our – we set a record for in-game sales. So just would encourage everybody to continue to support a phenomenal cause. And, you know, we're looking for 100% participation in that game. So, you know, on to Texas. You know, while I said Florida was the best team in our league, this is the most dangerous team in our league, and it's not even close in my opinion. You know, they have four guys that account for 70% of their offensive production, and they have a bunch of guys that just understand what they're supposed to be doing out there in their roles. They have three guards that can beat you on any given night that do, you know, different things at a very, very high level. You know, they have beaten more top 25 teams than anyone in our conference with four top 25 wins. They have a top 10 offense nationally. They're one of the best rebounding teams in college basketball. You know, in their wins, they're plus 16 in rebounds, and in their losses, they're plus one. So, you know, we have the same intention that we did against Florida as far as they do a great job of going to get it. You know, Tremont Mark, you know, we played against him when he was at Houston. We went to the NCAA tournament with Janai his first year, and, you know, he beat us by himself. And, you know, Dalen Swain is a man and, you know, just does so many things well, runs through contact, rebounds it, passes it. You know, Jordan Pope has had multiple games this year where, you know, if you look at NC State, he's just taking the game over. And Boca Titus is, you know, just a handful down there. So they got four, you know, just phenomenal players that, you know, are going to do a lot of really good things for them. So it's been keeping me up at night because, you know, they're probably the most neat point that we've played up to this point, just as far as all the different things that those guys are capable of doing. So we're going to have our hands full. We're going to really have to, you know, sit down and guard our yard and, you know, not require a ton of help. So one of the best one-on-one teams in the country as far as what those guards do. And then they have, you know, probably the most improved big in college basketball. You know, he won a scrimmage. To see him then to where he's at now, you know, the job just kind of improving his game. And, you know, he leads the country in foul 40 minutes. He draws 10 fouls every 40 minutes. That's nuts. So does a great job of using his body for seals, and they do a great job of finding him. So, and not to mention they, you know, have a guy that played at Purdue with. So, yeah, they got some pieces. Their top eight is really good. And our guys are going to have some special to come out and get another one.
As you were saying, like when you play a team like this, you know, how big is it with your one-on-one defense? Like I know you guys want to load into gaps, and how big is it? Just keep the guy in front of you, you know, from beating you.
Yeah, it's about as important as, you know, any game this year, just not having to require a ton of help. It's easier since those guys are really good at, you know, setting up their drives and, you know, getting you on angles and scoring on angles. So our guys got to do a great job of just sitting down, being in a stance, you know, recognizing who can shoot it and who can't. We got to be disciplined in our closeouts, and, you know, we just got to understand who we can and can't help off of, and we just got to be connected, got to be super connected defensively against a team like this, because if you aren't, they'll make you pay.
Steven, talk about guys have been in control a lot of those games versus maybe Georgia, you're kind of trying to come back. A&M was topsy-turvy, but the last three, it seems like you've had good starts and you've been into the game. Just talk about how that's, you know, the impact that makes and what you can take from that.
I think we, you know, the last three specifically, you know, I think we did a better executing the things that we talked about in the game plan offensively, as far as what we thought would work and, you know, scoring early and scoring late and not playing off 1 foot and playing off 2 feet has been really good for us, and we got to continue to do that. And, you know, I think it's just been a lot more solid and has allowed us to, you know, not just have to continuously take the ball out of the net, you know, some stops and get out and create some advantage and, you know, be able to run some stuff and make them cover, and done a pretty good job of executing. Even though we haven't shot it great, you know, we've done a good rim and playing off two and getting to the foul line, and we're making free throws. So that obviously all ties into being able to have better starts, and obviously two of those being on the road in really hostile environments. So guys have done a better job, you know, early in games. That was a concern for us leading up after the first two SEC games. But our guys have done a better job, and we've got to continue to in order to, you know, beat the best teams on our schedule.
Steven, just how much – has a healthy Murph, as you see out of him, really offensively and defensively?
Yeah, it's been huge. You know, I talked to Todd after the game, and he's like, I had no idea how athletic Murph was. And I was like, you know, yeah, that's when he's healthy, that's what he looks like. So that just kind of – and that speaks volumes in itself when it comes from Todd like that, because he obviously has some phenomenal bigs on his roster. So it just, you know, it improves everything that he does. You know, when he's jumping around the rim, he's able to block shots, he's able to get rebounds, and those are all the things that we need him to be able to do. And, you know, a healthy Murph has obviously, you know, allowed us to win four out of our last five. But it's not just him. Like, him and Phillip have been just really, really good down there. And they got to continue. They, you know, can't let success change us. You know, we got to stay consistent with everything that we've been doing. And those two guys have to continue to do the things that have been proven to be effective, because it's helped us win some games.
Steve, you guys had a tight game the other day out. You go, I think Keyshawn went the distance, damn near 40 minutes, and then Tahad went off. If these games are close, stick with the guys that got you here and.
I mean, he had to. I mean, we had some guys that had foul trouble. You know, Key is a guy that's in great shape. You know, and while Key is playing heavy minutes, he's well conditioned to play those minutes. And like, I think he missed two checkouts in the Florida game, as opposed to like 20 in the previous game. So it's like, you know, every single possession he was going to hit somebody. And for us to be able to compete with a team like Florida, it requires that type of effort. So Key's in great shape, you know, 36, and that's what I would like for him to play. You know, we need Blake to be able to be out there for a little bit longer than what he was. He got put out there in some difficult stretches when Florida kind of made their runs, and it had nothing to do with Blake being out there. It was just, you know, they kind of had some momentum in those swings, and Tahad got back in. So, you know, Tahad's, you know, sweet spot is probably between 32 and 34. But Key, you know, we trust Key to be able to be out there for a majority of the game when we need him to. Would it be nice to not have to play him 38 minutes? Absolutely. But, you know, this league a little bit and play guys more minutes than what they're used to. So that's why we, you know, kind of limit what we do in practice, because we need those guys to be fresh and furious for games.
Pearl, most of his comments with the media earlier today as the Tigers get ready for Texas tomorrow night. Three games on tap in league play tonight, and interesting ones. Arkansas really playing well under Coach Cal. At Oklahoma, the bottom team in the league. Oklahoma 1-6 in conference. Arkansas is 5-2. That is the opening game in the conference. The 6 o'clock game on ESPN. At 7 o'clock on the SEC Network, Charles Bediako's second game with Alabama, as the Tide looks to go back over 500 in conference play against a 4-3 Missouri team coming in. I think Aiden Holloway is expected back for the Tide tonight, so that'll be a big boost for them as well, but we will see. And then the third ball game, a really interesting one. The Vandy, you know, got off to that unbelievable start, but then lost three straight before they bounced back. They were 3-0 in conference, and what were they, like 14-0.
Yeah, at one time.
Before they lost, but they're now 4-3 in conference. But the hottest team in the league, the Kentucky Wildcats, are coming in. Kentucky has won five in a row, yeah, coming into Nashville tonight. This ought to be a heck of a ball game.
Yeah, that'll be tough. Another good game, not in the SEC, Bill, and I didn't even know this. Nebraska and Michigan tonight.
How about that?
Number five and number three teams in the country.
Yeah, you're not used to talking Nebraska basketball.
Yeah,
like,
I know,
this,
Nebraska.
Really,
yeah,
no kidding. Those are games to keep an eye on this evening. Auburn, of course, we talked about it. Auburn and Texas tomorrow, 6 o'clock tip. Oh, I didn't mention that Kentucky Vandy game's 8 o'clock or thereabouts. It'll be
good luck
after the Arkansas Oklahoma game's
done. Probably about 9.
So it'll be at least 8:10. Before that gets started. But the other games on tap for tomorrow, in addition to the Auburn-Texas game, Mississippi State at LSU, Tennessee is at Georgia. That'll be an interesting
one.
Very
interesting.
All three of those games are 6 o'clock starts. And then the late game tomorrow is Florida at South Carolina.
Yep.
So those are the
– getting that time of year.
Yeah, yeah.
Every game's important.
Yep. the basketball schedule for the SEC. All right, tell you what, we'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane from Crane and Cone joins us on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on the craziness that continues here in college athletics when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive. Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio as Dan is on the road with the Troy women's basketball team for the rest of the week. But it is the bottom of the hour here on this Tuesday, and that means it's time for us to be joined by one of our good friends. From Crane and Cone, it is one of the Cranes, and it is Jake, our good buddy, joining us. Hey, Jake, how you doing today, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, guys. Appreciate y'all having me. Hope everyone is safe out there with the winter is coming Game of Thrones-style ice storm we just had.
Yeah, man, I mean, I've seen pictures from all over where that's exactly what it looks like. Quite a few folks taking advantage and bringing back those memories, as a matter of fact. But, hey, we've been really lucky here. All we got was some rain. And now it's cold, but I mean, my goodness, you look around at all the ice and everything. Hope everybody can stay safe and warm.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're gonna have power for another week. So we scrambled down here to somewhere that did, but no, hope everybody's being safe out there.
Man, you want to talk on the court or in the court to get started? I feel like that's what we're doing. I'd say, hey, it's our on-court segment, which generally there's not as much news as there is with the in-court and other things going on.
No, I mean it's typically that way. But I tell you, I was so impressed by Auburn basketball going on the road and beating Florida. I mean, you guys know. I mean, heck, Coach Dunn, I know you're a football guy, but at the end of the day, I don't think we've beaten Florida at Florida since World War I.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time,
it
buddy.
It feels like it for a young guy like Jake, but yeah. Don and I remember 1996.
No, no. Yeah.
I know you've got a little memory of 1996, not a whole lot, but that was back in the amateur days.
Yeah, that was a while ago. I will say I was one of the ball boys on the Chris Porter team. I was under the goal that he had that putback dunk.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, the Sports Illustrated dunk. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Scotty Pullman was my hero, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, though, Jake. I mean, very impressive. And look, they've done it the last three ball games with defense and a punishing inside game. Not at all what I think anyone thought this team would be just a few weeks ago when they were having to put up 85-plus points to have a chance to win.
Well, you know, in football, the game is won and lost up front. And in basketball, it's won and lost underneath that basket. And you can tell that Keyshawn Murphy was challenged by this staff. And I think, and look, I know he was banged up. Auburn's going to – a lot of people think Auburn lives or dies by Keyshawn Hall. And when he goes off, it's great. But if Keyshawn Murphy can be a legitimate presence down low, be a legitimate rebounder, and a threat as a rim protector, this team changes a lot. I mean – guys, Auburn's not shooting well from three either.
No,
heck,
not at all.
Play like they've played in the front court and start hitting threes, this team can do some things.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, you look, but despite, I tell you what, that's very encouraging is despite his struggle shooting outside, Tahad Pettiford has distributed the ball much better, and he had a couple of just critical baskets for Auburn. Talking about inside, I mean, those layups high off the glass that were part of that run that really put the ball game away.
Yeah, I just wish he'd take care of the ball a little bit better.
Yep.
I actually think his defense has improved.
Yes,
a
indeed.
Little bit, and that's something that benefits Auburn greatly because the defense is really lacking at the point guard position with both guys, and Magwood's really not playing right now. You know, with Hod, what I like about him is he seems to make his biggest shots in the biggest moments.
Yep.
He just has that kind of ability and understanding, and it's not just in the NCAA tournament. Last year, I mean, look at the game against Houston. Look at what he did against Florida, scoring those four quick points when the game got tight. I just wish he should have had 12 assists against Florida, to be honest, or against Ole Miss, at least, the way he was dishing the ball. But I would love for the three-pointer to start being effective again. That's going to open up the driving. But he's got to start taking care of the ball a little bit more because I think he's gotten a little loose with it here, and I'm sure the coaching staff's addressed that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something, and you got to be concerned. Hey, Texas comes in with another real challenge there in the backcourt for this team that's only playing seven and really three guards.
Yeah, and look, to be honest with you, when I looked at the matchup with Florida, you kind of thought that might be the worst matchup that Auburn may have all year. But it's amazing on defense in any sport, and I'm talking about the guard position here specifically. When you communicate, good things happen. I mean, Coach Dunn, I used to tell our DBs, listen, if you're going to be wrong, all of y'all be wrong the same way.
Exactly.
Because if we're all wrong, we're all right. At least it's sound. What I can't have is you running man free and you running cover two to this side. If you get it wrong, just everybody be wrong the same way.
Right.
So I feel like the communication's gotten better, and that's why it looks like Auburn's able to swarm because they're not having to play catch-up defensively. They're where they're supposed to be. They're in a stance. They're able to get to where they need to be if they do get caught quicker. And I think you've seen that kind of come to fruition.
Yeah, and it's something that was driving Steven crazy. He was the defensive coordinator for his dad. And part of it, it's hard for fans to realize it takes a while. Even though these guys have been practicing together, it still takes a while to get that chemistry and have everybody on the same page. And it sure appears that that's the case now.
Without a doubt. And again, offense, a guy can dribble down the court, go one-on-one, and score. A guy can dribble down the court, pull up, shoot it, make it. It looks like great offense without even running anything. Defense does not work like that.
No.
Defense takes everybody being on the same page and understanding not only what their job is, but what the job of the person next to him. And to be honest with you, that's a lot easier with five guys than it is with 11.
Oh, no question about it. Talking with Jake Crane of Crane & Cone here on the Tuesday Drive. And we'll sort of ease our way toward off the court. It's on the court and off the court. The Charles Bediako situation there at Alabama with the judge granting an extension to the TRO, which if you look at the temporary restraining order, there's some folks saying, well, at least it'll all be taken care of before the Auburn game. Not necessarily so, because the TRO extends 10 days from the end of the original one, which would mean it would run all the way till February 10th. So there's a possibility that Charles Bediako could play four ball games, including the Auburn game, before this is decided. But love to get your thoughts on this, because I think it's another step toward even more chaos that we've seen here in college athletics, allowing guys who not only have gone into the draft but have signed contracts with that higher level professional team to come back and play.
I mean, Bill, and I think, look, everybody knows who I root for deep down, but I think you got to take the fandom out of this. The way I look at it is, man, if I'm a player that plays in the front court in Alabama, man, our coach must think I'm terrible. They must think I'm terrible. You're having to go to the G. This is the scaredest, softest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
That's the scaredest, softest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know, as a man, as a coach, how Nate Oates is okay with this. Like everybody's making fun. Tennessee tagged the G League team after they beat you. Like, this is, to me, this is a bad look for Nate. You look scared. You look scared. And anybody that's done it, like anybody that's the same with the Injai guy at Baylor.
Yep.
It just makes you look weak to me.
Yeah,
the fact that
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, my uncle gave me some great advice one time. He said, just because you can do something doesn't always mean you should. And what I'm hoping is that the little bit of teeth the NCAA has left, I think, is with eligibility. I think that's where it lies. I hope, and I know Bama lost to Tennessee, that every game they win that he plays in, they forfeit. And at the end of the day, if you want to sit here and say, look, if you sign any professional contract, Euro League, G League, NBA, you are now not eligible to play in college, I'm fine with it. But I also understand that when you look at somebody like Jovic, who's also like 17 years old, playing in the Serbian National League is not like playing for the Spurs G League team. It is just, it's so embarrassing. Like, it's like cringy to me. How sad it must be that halfway through the season, you're so desperate to have some sort of physical presence down low, you got to kind of cheat the system to go get a guy. It just, it shows weakness to me, and I hope they make fun of him. I hope they point and laugh at him and do all type of stuff, because it's a joke, man. And I'm so glad. Say what you want, Stephen Pearl. Say what you want about Stephen Pearl. There is no way that Stephen Pearl would go get a G League guy to come back. It's soft. It's disgusting. And I expect better from Nate Oates or any man that has any salt about him. It's a joke to me. It's borderline. It's the closest we can get, and I'm not trying to get political here. It's bordering the line of men and women sports to some point that you're going to go get a 23-year-old NBA player to come back and play for your college team because you didn't recruit good enough.
Look, one thing, and Jake, I know you're a baseball guy too. I mean, one thing that I've wondered for years is why not allow everyone to have the same option that baseball players do? Sure, you can be drafted. You don't have to worry about declaring for the draft. You're drafted. If you don't like your situation there after the draft, don't sign, and then you can come back. Yeah. But right then, yep. Not 2 years later.
No, I mean, Bill, that's 100% correct. What? Let me ask you this. What's the difference in Nate Oates doing what he did with Betty Yocco and Butch Thompson going to sign the fourth best pitcher on the best AAA team in Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
Come back now. What's the difference there?
None at all. I mean, that's what this would set precedent for. If this holds up, and I think it probably will, at least initially, then yeah, what's to prevent everyone from looking at, all right, who's still in the 5-year window, which I don't even know if that's going to hold up for long, but who's in that 5-year window? And it doesn't have to be somebody that ever had anything to do with this school before that still has some eligibility that we can go out and bring in. And I'm talking about now in any sport.
Yeah, I just, and it's in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Like, it's the middle of the season.
Oh, you're right.
Like, if you did this before the season, I wouldn't like it. But at least it'd be like, okay, it's before the season. Doug, you did this 7 games in the conference play. So if I'm a team that's about to make the NCAA tournament and I need to juice it up, why don't I just try and go get somebody from the G League? I actually hope it's so insane it helps put a stop to it. It's like one of those things that, you know those laws in states that are weird? Like you can't bring a dog next to a Walmart on a Tuesday?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
There's a reason for that. Somebody's dog went nuts on a Tuesday in Maine. I'm hoping this is that moment where we're like, okay, you can't do it. Everybody's got to go home. No white tees in the club.
Hey, the other thing, and I thought that sort of thought of this as we were talking with the caller a little earlier, you know what would stop it? For the NBA to go, we agree with the NCAA, and therefore Charles Bediako will not be allowed to play in the NBA. That'd stop this crap.
Oh, it would. And if the NCAA came out and said, yeah, you guys are going to forfeit every game he plays in, they'd ship him. So he'd be back in that G League team so quick you couldn't bat an eye before he's there.
Yeah, he'd be able to play in the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's another thing. They voted him in the All-Star game.
Of course they pulled him off the ballot now, but whatever.
It's like Nate Oates has his butt crack out during the middle of the singing choir, the way people are making. And you know what? If you're willing to do this, I hope they laugh at you. I hope they throw vegetables at you. I hope the higher-ups like Jay Billis and all these guys clown you because what a weak little man. It's just crazy to me that you're going to get a 23-year-old NBA player to come back and try and save you because you didn't recruit good enough. Just what? And if Auburn was doing it, I'd say the same thing. I'd have the same energy if Auburn was doing it. It's an embarrassment to the sport. To me, I think y'all should have to forfeit the rest of the season. I think you should have to stop playing. The minute he checked in should have been the minute Alabama's season ended.
You know, it is just crazy. I mean, every week we think, all right, we've seen it all, and then something else comes up. So we've got this the same day that Duke announces that there's an announcement that Duke and Darian Mensa have reached an agreement, and I guess we will see Darian Mensa, I would imagine, in the Miami uniform next year, don't you?
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, and I hate to capitulate to this, but it's gotten to the point it has to happen. They've got to be employees, man. I know I said
absolutely.
Last time on here. Like, because right now it's a financial agreement.
Yeah.
It's not an employment contract. So not that you would never settle on an employment contract. We've seen that with coaches before. But it's gotten to the point now where it just needs to be cut and dry. It needs to be cut and dry. No, oh, well, you know, there's not language in the contract, so we got to go to court to figure out what side they're going to lay on. No, like in my contract, there are things that I can do, and there are things that I cannot do. And you don't need a you know, lawyer and cases and trial and all this stuff to figure that out. That
no, there need to be consequences. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you've got that, and then of course the situation with Ole Miss and Clemson. And my goodness, Dabo not pulling any punches. Now, I'm not usually a big Dabo supporter, but he's absolutely right. I mean, you talk about there's no question this that I mean, how can the NCAA not have said something about the tampering? That I mean, don't worry about alleged tampering. This is proven tampering when a player is already signed in classes, and you know he's attending class and he's getting texts from the head coach.
Yeah, well, it's you know when you have proof, it makes it a lot easier. Saying you just want to stop tampering, that's like saying you know you want to stop people cheating on their spouses. Like that's just never going to happen. You can say that. You can hope in one hand and do something else in the other and see which one fills up faster. But to me, at the end of the day, if you've got solid proof, then there should be consequences, like just like in anything, just like you see in professional leagues. When they have solid proof, you get docked, you get dinged, you get hit. But just having some vague statement of, yeah, no, tampering's bad, because you do it to third parties. Hey, we did it when I coached in JUCO. Oh, you know this guy? Well, hey, can you message him and tell him that we really like his tape? Yep. I didn't message him, but you can message him. Mm-hmm, and then if he's interested, well, he said he was interested first, so then I messaged him.
Yeah, and it gets back to what you said. And we had a caller earlier saying, well, you don't see this in the professional leagues. Yes, that's right, because there's an employer-employee relationship.
Yeah.
And they have those contracts, and they can't break those contracts.
That's exactly right. It's in writing. That's why it's one of the main reasons we invented reading and writing. We can make sure you did what you said you were going to do.
Man, well, I'll tell you what it does. It also makes for plenty of conversation and a lot of fun things to be talking about. Some of them aren't so fun, but, I mean, there are just crazy things going on.
Well, I mean, yeah, to that point, it does create content, but so does a lot of bad things.
Sometimes I wish
we've got to just –
Be nice to talk about just what's happening, in the real competition that's on the field or on the court.
Percentage and like all these 18 to 22 year olds really rallying together. But no, we're talking about Dabo Swinney. Old man yells at cloud, but in this case, the cloud did something wrong.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. Well, speaking of content, you guys pump it out. Talk a little bit about and let everybody know what's going on there at Crane and Cone.
Yeah, man. Look, you can find us in the same place. It's the same show. We just went over to On Three. So
just added the NE. That's all.
Yeah. Well, it turns out David's last name isn't Company, so we had to change that. We figured that out. But no, yeah, it's same show, same place on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. So look, we've got an Auburn transfer portal recap episode dropping on Thursday that we're excited. So we're going to talk a lot about Golish and what he's adding and kind of see where this – I mean, getting Dallas Walker back, that's a big one to throw in the middle. You got to have guys like that.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. So great stuff. And looking forward to that one on Thursday, Jake. Always appreciate it, man. It's a blast.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Y'all be good, and everybody stay safe out there.
All right, take care. Jake Crane joining us as he does on Tuesdays. Yeah, he's always fun.
He's good, really good.
I've known him since he was a ball boy back in those days.
That's a great story, too.
334-321-1390. May have time for a call or so, but we've got to get to our final break here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final couple of minutes. And if you're listening to Jake Crane, and we always appreciate having Jake on, he broke some news that is literally big football news for
10
Auburn.
10 minutes old.
Just in the last half hour, reports that Dallas Walker has been granted an additional year of eligibility. Auburn Sports saying that their sources say he will be returning for the 2026 season. He played 2 years at Texas A&M, 2 years at Western Kentucky, had a year in between when he didn't play, and one of the years at A&M was 2020, which COVID. Doesn't count.
Right.
So he applied for, and the NCAA has granted. So this time we'll go, hey, good. Thank you,
did NCAA. Right.
That's big for Auburn, literally.
Yep.
They were looking for some more help there on the interior of the defensive front. Gives an experienced, just space eater.
Yes. Huge.
Yeah. Talk about how important that is to have somebody that can take on one or more.
Oh, yeah. And plus the experience and the age.
Oh, yes.
And, that's just like that's the best news you can get as a defensive line coach and as a head coach and as a fan.
Yeah, so add that to Auburn's depth chart, and that is a big one.
Yeah, that's huge.
Man, they have now covered about the only thing now, you know, you'd like a proven edge.
Right. But they've got enough linebackers, Bill, that maybe they had
think
to
so too.
Put a guy out there on the edge.
You know, maybe a healthy DeMarcus Riddick.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still early. I mean, who knows?
Oh, yeah. But, Alex Golish is going to be in Mobile tomorrow. Jason
great.
Caldwell is going to be down there as Senior Bowl practice is going on. So we'll check in with Jason from down in Mobile tomorrow. Fun show today.
Yeah, for sure.
As we had Andy Burcham on in the first hour and then just wrapped up our time with Jake Crane. But we are out of time for today. Hopefully you'll join us tomorrow. Don and I will be back in. And Drew will be here. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow. But that's going to do it for the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.